Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am your host, Kate Romero, and I'd like to thank BBSRadio.com and Don Newsom for giving us this fabulous platform to make a difference in the world. And I want to let you know that we have a very, very special guest this evening. We have with us Tracy Stafford, who was recently crowned Mrs. California, United States, 2007. And she is just a phenomenal lady with a wonderful story that will leave you moved, touched, and inspired. So without further ado, I would like to bring on Tracy. Tracy, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful. I understand yesterday was your birthday.
It was.
Did you have a good day?
I did. It was a wonderful day. It's interesting, you know, being over 40, I thought I would just not be happy to celebrate birthdays. But it's just great. With each and every year, you know, there's something new and exciting to learn. So.
Yes, absolutely. I'm writing a little booklet for people who are over 40 called I Just Got Another Free Trip Around the Sun. How cool is that?
I want that.
Yes, exactly. And it'll be filled with everything that's wonderful about being of that new wonderful age. So why don't you give everyone the website page that you have that's under construction at least so they can pull it up and take a look at what you have there and see how they can go about booking you for whatever or sponsoring you or for pageant information there. I know it carries that information on it. So if you'd like to give our listeners your website, please do so.
Oh, sure. That website is www.MrsCaliforniaUnitedStates.com.
Wonderful. So, listeners, go ahead and pull that up and take a look at this gorgeous, gorgeous human being and see for yourselves who we are speaking with. And tell me, Tracy, what is this next event that you are going to win?
Well, the next event is the Mrs. United States pageant.
Okay, and that's with all of the states, and you're representing California.
Yes.
And what is the date that will be taking place?
It's July 11th for preliminaries and then the top 10 for finals on July 12th.
Wow. I know what I will be doing. This will be televised, right?
It will. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where would that be seen?
At PAX TV.
P-A-X. PAX TV. And we don't know the schedule on that yet, do we?
We do not.
Okay, great. So we should just stay tuned and check our local listings?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So why don't you give us a brief background on where you were born and the journey of your childhood and the significant things that would give us a wonderful thumbnail of your journey and how you got to where you are today, which is a absolute fabulous odyssey and incredible journey that you've been on. And I know there are a lot of people out there right now who are going to really be inspired by what you have to say. So, you know, just start wherever you feel moved to begin, whatever age you want to start, and just let us know. And just for those of you who don't have Tracy's photo up yet, she is a gorgeous African-American lady who has 4 children and is happily married. And you will be surprised at how she got where she is. So anytime you're ready, Tracy.
Sure. Well, let's see where to start. There's so much to cover. Well, I was originally born in Akron, Ohio, and I was born to a single parent. My mother, I was her second child at the time, and she ended up having 5, so there were 5 of us all together. And she grew up in a pretty humble household and decided that there wasn't much opportunity for her children in Akron, so she moved us to California when I was 4. And it's pretty interesting, where she moved us was San Leandro, California, which is right outside of Oakland in Northern California. And at the time, we were one of the first African-American families to move into San Leandro. So, which seemed like a great idea, I guess, because she was thinking more about opportunity for us, but I don't think she had thought about the climate and the racial climate. So we had quite a tough time being in that area, although it was really instrumental for us in terms of building or growing us to be the people that we became, because we can just fit in anywhere. I mean, it's just fabulous. But at the time, it's always difficult, as most of us know, to be the first of anything, because you're pretty much not just, I won't say paving the way. I mean, at this point, you're actually pulling out the weeds and the rocks and the boulders to get through. I mean, it's
right.
True. I mean, the folks after you pave the way, the second, third, fourth, they're paving. So it was rough, but extremely valuable. She went out of her way to make sure that we went to the best schools that she could afford. When I say afford, she spent a lot of time and energy working at the schools, and she got us on programs and various things that we could actually attend. So we attended Catholic elementary school and then Catholic high school. And during this process, my mother had remarried, and she married a man who was physically abusive.
Mm.
So it was rough. Growing up, we saw quite a bit of violence, which I'll discuss a little bit later on, but as I grew up and gotten involved in relationships, it was not surprising for me to be struck. So I ended up following in her footsteps, and my first marriage was very, very abusive. But moving on, she passed away when I was 12 years old, and my grandmother, who's a wonderful woman from Alabama, as you can imagine, anybody who knows anybody from Alabama or the Deep South, they are some strong women.
Oh, yes.
Strong women. They really are. And they take no mess either. So they don't. I mean, she scared me, I'm going to tell you. we were afraid to get into too much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up raising us. And where my mother was much more, she was very sort of elegant and articulate, and the way that she got us into places where we really would not have been normally would be to call on the phone and convince them that we should get this or get that or get into the school. And then when we get there, they'd be surprised by who we were, but it was too late. So, and my grandmother, on the other hand,
because she was very articulate and you couldn't pick up the ethnic intonations in the language or the voice, but when they got there, they would realize that you were ethnically diverse. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly it. So
yeah,
she would
and then it was too late. That's
exactly
great.
Exactly. She got the paperwork filled out and already mailed in.
Mm-hmm.
And then so we're locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And
great.
Then we'd show up and yeah. And the dog would drop. It was really
that's wonderful.
It really was. My grandmother on the other hand, she dealt with it head on. So she will storm in somewhere and say, "Well, why don't you want to give it to us? We deserve as much as you do." You know, this is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Ways of feeling, but after she passed away, we still struggled quite a bit, and financially, we were already kind of on the fence, but once she passed away, we were pretty much destitute, so there were times when we had literally no food. I think a box of Rice-A-Roni we once all had to share, all five of myself, my five siblings, and my grandmother. So it's very, you know, humbling to be that low and kind of down in your luck. But I think the important thing is always remembering that there's a better tomorrow. And I never lost that, no matter what I went through. And it was interesting, you know, going to the high school that she had worked so hard to get us into. We were able to continue on in school. And, you know, we're going to school with these children who have, you know, Maseratis, you know, when they hit 16. And, and you know, we're trying to scrape up money for bus fare. So it was quite, you know, a difference aside from, you know, being African American and the only African Americans in the school, but also there was the bridge between, you know, the have and the have nots on top of that. So it was quite humbling, and I think, you know, without my grandmother and my belief in God and my belief that there was always a better day, you know, I don't know what that would have done.
Yeah.
You know, to a different person. But I think what I talk a lot about and what I hope people, you know, get from my story when I speak is not that, oh, all these horrible things happened, but there was always a better tomorrow. And if you hold on to that and truly believe it, you know, there truly always is. I mean, although you're going through tough times, and we had a lot of them, you know, each time there was always something valuable. There was always a wonderful tool or a little more strength or just something that I got out of it that I would, you know, even at a young age, I considered I had a tool belt, an imaginary tool belt. So I thought, ooh, I can use this, you know, and I would think of the value or the lesson, and I would put it in my little imaginary tool belt, you know, to use later.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really sort of the important thing, is that you can go through a lot of things, but what we go through, it doesn't really define us. You know, it's just something that we are traveling through in order to sort of graduate to the next level.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And what when did you decide that you wanted to begin pageantry, to do pageants?
Oh, my goodness. That was a calling. I truly believe it had nothing to do with me.
wow, great.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. It was never a big dream of mine. I did a lot of modeling when I was younger, and I did do a few pageants when I was 18 and then one at 19, but it was just kind of a fun thing to do. Never had any grandiose ideas of being Miss America or anything like that, but my husband mm-hmm. and I were watching television one evening and watching PAX, and on came the Mrs. America pageant. And as I watched, you know, I thought, these are some beautiful women. You know, this is awesome. Look at what they're doing. And I thought it was really wonderful. But I noticed a few things. I noticed that there were no minorities.
Mm.
And I also noticed that a lot of them didn't have children. And others didn't have careers. And I thought, I mean, it's still wonderful. And whatever choices people decide to make is just fabulous. But when I think about the average married woman, I mean, just average married woman, you know, most of us are working, but the husband and the wife must work in order to support the household.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us are juggling, you know, children as well as jobs, volunteerism, you know, there's all these things, activists, there's just so much going on. And I did not see that when I looked at the contestants. And mm-hmm. I thought, they don't represent me, doggone it. And I got this fire burning that I still don't believe was mine, and I just started doing pageants, and that was just 2 years ago.
Just 2 years ago. Wow, you have come a very long way. So what did you have to do in the process of becoming considered for the Mrs. America pageant?
Wow. It wasn't very difficult, actually. It was just an application process. Now, each state is different. Some states have there's a county level and then a state level. But in California, for the United States pageants as well as the Mrs. America pageants, it's basically an application process, and then you just go straight to California.
Hmm.
So it was pretty simple to get involved. Now, the transition, you know, to actually win was like a whole other story. It's once I started that process, I realized why I was there.
Okay.
Yes, it was quite more than I had bargained for. And the first pageant, when I started participating, I realized that somehow I had lost my femininity and never even knew it happened. I mean, I went from being a runway model, and once I got into corporate America and I moved up the food chain, and I ended actually as a director of product marketing for Netscape before I started my own business. So I had, you know, fought pretty hard, you know, to get to move up and get to these certain levels. And apparently throughout that process, I had given up a lot of who I was in order to fit in and not be offensive to other people. And I was going through my closet, you know, trying to find things to wear to these little interviews and things. And I realized that my clothes were all at least two sizes too big.
Wow.
And I had no idea. I had no skirts in my closet. I had, it was unbelievable. Nothing fit my body. And then I sort of started looking at pictures of myself, and I always wore my hair back. Maybe a little bit liner and some studs for earrings, but had just become a man throughout the process somehow.
Oh, my goodness.
It was pretty surprising, especially when you're living it and not seeing it happen. It's so gradual. And I've learned since then that it's pretty common, you know, for women to start downplaying themselves. I know for me, I was sexually harassed quite a few times, and I even had HR people tell me that it would probably continue to happen. And I think that's when I started wearing more pants, so folks would notice my legs and just trying not to be attractive.
Yes, I can understand that.
So you
lost weight actually through this process. Your clothes suddenly were two sizes too big for you because you hadn't noticed that you had slimmed down?
No, I bought them that way.
You did?
You can believe that. I bought them that way. I had no concept of what my size was.
Wow.
So I would immediately, it was that deep. I had no idea. And they were just always too big. And I didn't know that. I bought them too large. And I bought them too large in my mind, I justified it by saying that because I was so tall, I needed to buy larger sizes so that my sleeves and pant legs would be long enough.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'10".
Wow, that's a beautiful size. So you really weren't that conscious of many things about yourself before you began the pageant, is that right?
That is correct. There were quite a few epiphanies that occurred, and then I had to do a lot of soul searching and a lot of digging. And as I mentioned before, with my first marriage, which was, you know, quite abusive, and, you know, that was one of the reasons as well, you know, not wanting to trigger his anger by having someone else looking at me, and then at work you're getting the same thing that, you know, you can't be too cute, or either women will have a problem with you, or men will have a, you know, have a different kind of, you know, attention that they're giving you, and it just wasn't worth the energy, and especially, you know, with him, it took a lot of, to leave that relationship, you know, it took him beating me in front of my 3-year-old daughter for me to see what was happening and know that I did not want her to go through the same thing.
To grow up and think it's normal to be hit, yes.
Exactly. I mean, it's interesting how children, you know, behave when they grow up in this situation. It's either, as a woman, either you will never allow anyone to touch you. I mean, they do anything funny and you're running, or it just, you're desensitized to it, which in my case, that's what happened.
Right, I can see how that would happen.
True.
And we are the role model for our children, most definitely. And you have 4 beautiful children aging from 5 to 19, don't you?
I do. I have my eldest, Chanel, just from my first marriage, and then I was fortunate enough to meet my husband, Brian, and we've been married for 11 years, and we've had 3 additional children, Michaela, who is 9, Keelan is 8, little boy, and then my baby, BJ, Brian Jr., who is 5.
Oh, my goodness. Did you say that you have one named Kaylin?
I do, Keelan. Mm-hmm.
Keelan or Kaylin?
Keelan.
Oh, my son's name is Kaylin.
Oh, Kaylin, very close.
Yes, very close. You have a daughter named Michaela?
I do.
Okay, so Keelan and Michaela just sounded like Kaylin to me. So, and your daughter Chanel is 19, and will she be following in your footsteps in pageantry?
She's thinking about it. She's a great actress, so she wants to be an actress and a commercial model, and now she's thinking very much about pageantry. But she's seen me go through a lot to get there. So, and I think what's interesting about pageantry is people don't realize, you know, what a transformation it truly is and how much work it is. I mean, it's a lot of work. And once I got involved, I realized why women with careers, a lot of them with careers and families and doing all these other things, don't get involved, because it's very time-consuming. And in my opinion, you've got to do a lot of self-reflecting to be successful. And as I was saying through the first pageant, I was just so thrilled to be a woman again, you know, no matter what happened, I was pleased, you know. And the second time, that was the first pageant, and I thought, okay, I've done it. I did what I was supposed to do. I answered the call, and I did it, and now I'm done with that. And I was going on with my career and things. And then after a few months, it kind of, that bug hit me again. No, Trace, you're not done. You got to get back and do another pageant. And I thought, really? Are you sure?
That's great.
So I went ahead. I mean, I've learned throughout the years not to question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I get that calling, no matter what it is, I know that I need to follow it. So I do it. I don't ask. Well, I do whine a little bit usually, but I do it. So in the second pageant, I mean, for me, I think it's pretty embarrassing, especially at the time. It felt very embarrassing to me, being that I was a businesswoman. And people had such a negative opinion of what pageantry was that it was embarrassing actually for me to tell people that I was doing it again. But it's almost like, you know, you deal with these, at least for me, failure issues and judgment and what will people think. And so that was the whole process of getting over that. You know, just to compete again. Who cares what they think?
Well, if you go into it without attaching an outcome to it, I believe that you can have a lot more fun.
Absolutely. And then looking at it as, you know, it was a fun thing. And again, also with me not truly knowing why I was being called to do it, it was a little easier to do that as well. you know, and I thought, okay, this will be fun. Let me go do this a second time. Fine. At least now I know the ropes. And there are specific ropes that you need to climb in pageantry. I mean, everything from, you know, filling out your application, which normally it says, for example, where'd you go to school? You know, so you write, or what degree you have, you'd write, for me, University of Phoenix, bachelor's of whatever in whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you would write. But in pageantry, you're trying to get as much information as you can to that judge. So what I ended up writing was my mother passed away when I was 12. Her dream was to be the first in her family, of all of her family, in all generations, to receive a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to fulfill that dream for her by being the proud recipient of a boom, boom, boom.
Very, very well stated.
Yeah, so all these little tricks.
Yes. Well, see, that wasn't a trick. That was you speaking your heart. And when you speak your heart, there's absolutely nothing inauthentic about it. So a trick is like, you know, you're doing something to get their attention. But what you were actually doing, Tracy, is revealing your heart. And that just, people cannot look away from that. And that's the difference.
That is, yeah, you're right. That is very true. I think the only difference would be is that if you're not in pageantry, you wouldn't know to do that.
Well, I do it all the time everywhere as a businesswoman and all of that. And that's why I was, you know, given a radio show called Spiritual Hollywood, because I do it all the time. And that's why you found me when you were looking for someone to help you with all these bookings and offers that you're getting since you won the title. So,
yep.
You know, for all those reasons, like when people speak their heart, the world listens.
Wow.
And
I would have never known that. Yeah.
Pardon me?
I would have never known that?
I
was just answering the questions black and white.
Wow. No, when you speak your heart, that's it. No, speaking your heart is really the only way to go. And people, you know, they get repressed when they're little. They take things literally when they're little. They, you know, it's like when you were small and you saw your mother become abused, that got into your subconscious mind. And, of course, you didn't know you were going to attract that to yourself because you thought that that was the way life is. And it's only in growing up and somehow by you know, your own wits that you realize that, no, that is not the way that women should be treated. And you manage to overcome it on your own. And that's huge. That's a huge big deal. Some people go a whole lifetime without knowing what you know. And, you know, you were called to this. You were called to this because I believe that you have a message, a global message to give, and you need a huge platform to give it. And I believe that the universe is putting you here because this is where you belong. And some people, I feel like yourself, need to have a celebrity status in order to get their message out. And your message is clear that there is a brighter day tomorrow, and this too shall pass, and you can have, do, and be anything you choose in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. When life gives you every excuse to fail, you're just choosing not to. You're prevailing. And that is a huge big deal, Tracy. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I have every confidence that you're going to win anything you put yourself in front of. And it's not a kind of win where somebody has to lose. It's the kind of win that says, yes, I can, and you can too. It's that kind of win. It's win-win.
And that really is the way I feel about it.
Of course.
And I think anybody going into this type of thing, no matter what the competition, you know, that there's more, there are more prizes than just what they give the first place winner.
Oh, and yes. You've got to find yourself. You've got to be a woman again. You've got to feel safe being a woman again. You've got to completely expose your beauty internally and externally and to be praised for it and honored for it and acknowledged for it. And isn't that a beautiful thing?
It truly is, and the fact that there's so much involved in terms of who you are as a person. I mean, the interview piece was a lot more revealing, and I just was really pleased with that portion of the competition because they really did look at who you were, and there's so much talk about, oh, it's just the beauty, and I can't believe they're in a swimsuit and all of that, but then you have to think about it and think, well, why shouldn't they be? You know, why shouldn't they be able to show how fit they are, how beautiful they are, how smart they are, how good they are, you know, all of those things, you know, from your intelligence all the way down to how you keep yourself together. You know, I just think it's, you have to be the complete package in order to win at least the Misses level. I'm not sure about the Miss, but I know the Misses, they look for the complete package.
And well, I think that, and also too, Tracy, one thing that's so great about you is that you represent a person who goes through hardships overcoming them, and it's not what life throws at you so much that matters. It's what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what you've done with it that is the inspiration and that caused you to win the title. Not to mention your outstanding, extraordinary beauty, but your inner beauty is what makes your outer beauty noticeable.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I got that in our first conversation. And you and I will be meeting pretty soon, too. We'll get to sit down and have some coffee and talk about your future. So when this next pageant happens, what is it that all the listeners can do to help support you? I mean, what kind of thoughts would you like us to think for you?
Wow. That's a good question. For each pageant, it was something else. Like the first one, it was, you know, for me to be able to allow myself to be seen, you know, for who I was. For the second pageant, it was about giving me confidence to feel worthy, you know, being the background that, you know, where I came from. I'm this poor, you know, African-American girl who's been abused and all these types of things, and I didn't feel worthy. And fighting through that was just awesome, just coming out into that one. But this last one, I think what comes to mind is that I would like folks to pray for me to be able to spread the message that I am to give effectively. I know it won't happen because I know God works through me and the words will come the way they need to come, but I do feel like there's a big responsibility for me to hit that message so that those folks out there hear it the way they should and the pieces they need to move themselves forward, that little bit of inspiration. And that's what I would like for folks to.
Okay, so if I were to sum up what you just said and give instruction to the listeners through what I think I heard you say, for me, as someone who just heard what you said, what I will be doing for you and holding the thought for you would be to help you find even more of your authentic self that was never wounded, that was never injured, that is totally intact, and to release and free that part of yourself to speak its truth in any situation, regardless of stresses, spotlights, cameras, whatever it is, to have you tap into your authentic, innate, true nature and speak that truth straight from source. That's what I hope will hold for you.
That's wonderful. You might want to be more succinct in my language. That would,
you know, that will come. And it doesn't matter if you know what, when you're coming from source, Tracy, you could recite the alphabet and bring people to tears. Trust that.
That's interesting. Interesting you say that. That happened recently. And it wasn't the alphabet, but I felt it was based on things that I've been through. And people were crying. I'm thinking, why are they crying?
Oh, because you're an example. You're an example of what's possible. You really are, and you're the president and CEO of Exceptional Events as well. I mean, what's going to happen with that?
Well, we are now. This is another one that I really need some good energy sent towards. I started the event planning firm 5 years ago, and a lot of my energy is being directed toward pageantry. I'm eating a little bit, so I really need some energy there. But what I want to do with this business and what I've always wanted to do, rather than corporate events, weddings, and those types of things, what I really want to do would be nonprofit fundraising events. And we do them all the time, and they're generally done pro bono because the funds are usually not there to support it. Unfortunately, I'm the primary breadwinner in my family, and we need to eat. So what I would love to do would be to turn this company into an organization that specializes in nonprofit fundraising events so that I can continue to go out and raise money for worthy causes and really affect change, help people, through what I do best, and that's event marketing, it's sponsorships, it's event planning and design. So that's what I love.
Wonderful. And so what kind of things would you like to attract to get that going in a mighty way? What would you need for your next step to have that happen for your business?
I think what I would need would be at least one or two organizations that have funding for an event planner and marketer to do this type of work for a major event or major campaign that they are running.
Now, what if this happens right while you're winning this next pageant? Can you handle all that at the same time?
I've got it covered.
I love that answer. Awesome, girl. Oh, that's right. You're there. You're totally there. And in the midst of all of this as well, you also chair the City of Sacramento Small Business Board, right?
I do.
Is that a big time requirement of you?
It isn't now because I'm being much better about delegation.
Good.
I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a chair, and that is leading. And what I've done in the past is I've just kind of done it all.
Right.
And so as I'm moving toward this next level, I'm learning that I need to truly delegate and be the leader and not be the leader and the worker bee and, you know, all the other pieces.
Good. And as a Black Chamber of Commerce board member, what does that require of you?
Basically, it's the same sort of thing. It's leadership, it's guidance. For me personally, I like to focus on the membership. So, you know, I can deal with the business components, those types of things, and I chime in. But when it comes to the members and what the members need, that's where I provide the most value. It's, hey, why don't we do this program? Why shouldn't we do that program? And spearheading those types of things.
Wonderful. And the birthing project, what is that?
Love the Birthing Project. The Birthing Project has been around for almost 20 years. It's a national organization. It started here in Sacramento by a wonderful woman. Her name is Catherine Hall. And what she noticed in the world, she was working for the government, and she realized that the mortality rate for ethnic infants or minority infants was 2-3 times that of Caucasian infants. And she started an organization that provided not only free prenatal care to low-income women, regardless of nationality or ethnicity, but she also added other components. It's actually it is run by midwives. They also have what they call the beauty salon, which it's training. It's courses that they put on that not only to help deliver the babies, but they also help the mothers to become parents. It's one thing to become a mommy and you had a baby, but what's missing in our communities, a lot of the lower income communities, is the knowledge on how to be a parent. So they teach them not only, you know, how to take care of yourself when you're pregnant, how to take care of that baby, as well as how to parent that child. And they have what they call the barbershop, where they take fathers through a similar program, learning how to be a father. So it's wonderful. And they had their first baby, actually, last year, that was born into the Birthing Project and went off to college.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Wonderful.
And you were appointed by Governor Schwarzenegger to the California Small Business Board as well?
Yes. And there I'm doing the same thing, you know, as the Sacramento, you know, Small Business Board, where I'm sort of going in, and any of you out there who, you know, own businesses, it's I think we all know it's not the same as working for someone else. And folks will tell you, you know, they separate business from, you know, pleasure or business from your home life, but when you are an entrepreneur, that is your business. I mean, your business is your home life, and they all blend because they've got to, and it's your survival, and it becomes a part of truly who you are. And there's a lot of differences in how a small business is run by its owner, and there are a lot of, how should I say it? There are quite a few inequalities in the way that contracts are handed out, and it's difficult for a small business to have the opportunity that a larger business will have. So that's why I'm just so active in small business, and I'm honored, you know, to be on the Governor's California Small Business Board, and I love it when I'm able to sit there and listen, and I go, but what about the small business owners?
Great. Wonderful.
Because there's so much focus on policy. And I go, but wait a minute, that's great, but how does that affect the small business owner? So I'm kind of the person, as I've always been, the person mm-hmm. that...
like your grandma. It's like your grandmother.
Yep, the emperor has no clothes, and I'm not afraid to tell him.
Exactly. And that's bravo for you. So are you thinking of maybe at one point in your life you may want to go into politics?
I just can't imagine I would survive. I think I'd rather be like Oprah and have a lot of power to influence politics.
Right. And she certainly does. So, at least you already have a good idea of how you could best serve in that capacity. There are a lot of wonderful people out there who are a support system for the people who are in politics, like Oprah, and who can affect change just by being that change and having a huge platform to do that. So your opportunities are growing exponentially to be that change with the next pageant that's coming up. And I have no doubt. Right, I just see it. I see it done. I see you wearing the crown. I see you with the tears of joy. I see it. I see that you're winning it.
Wow, that is awesome. And you know what's interesting is I have always seen it as well. It's just, I mean, when it's written, it's written. I mean, when
it is.
When you
absolutely pre-birth, before you were born, and you chose the circumstances you came through so that you could give this message of caring and support, and that you can have, do, and be whatever you choose in life, regardless of circumstances. You were strong enough to carry it off. That's why it was given you, and it was a gift. And you certainly are making good use of it.
Well, thank you. I mean, I definitely believe that. I mean, if you had said that to me when I was going through it, I'd be like, I didn't choose this. You
just, I know the feeling, yes. You and I have a lot in common.
It is true, but it's interesting too when you're so aware of that and you know it to be the fact, and then you watch someone who is getting lost in their circumstances,
you know,
and you think, oh gosh, how can I help? There's a woman who I just love dearly, who is so lost in her circumstances, and when I try to say take control, you know, you have more power over this than you realize, and she just can't hear me, and it's so frustrating to see, and I just hope, you know, folks that are listening, but most of people are already there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a lot of people, I think that, and you can tell me what you think of this too, Tracy, the movie The Secret. Obviously, you've watched it.
Absolutely.
Okay. For the uninitiated listener or movie watcher or book reader, it's a book form audiobook and a feature film. So they've hit every way that you could ingest this information, and it is designed for the uninitiated. It is designed for just that person that you were talking about. And if she has not seen The Secret or doesn't know about The Secret, if you would just introduce her to that, it would be, rather than giving her a fish so she'll eat for a day, it would be teaching her to fish so she could eat for a lifetime. So the great thing about The Secret is that it came about divinely channeled through Rhonda Byrne, through all the people she attracted to get that thing done, so that it could reach people like your friend who is so lost in her circumstances. My partner Alex Schieff and I treat so many people all the time in quantum hypnotherapy, which brings them back to their divinity, to their true nature. He puts them under deep hypnosis, and I go in and do the divinity coaching and the life coaching and just completely clear them out and remove the old software that got somehow damaged along the way in their life, and then put in new software that we designed together with their permission and their agreement. And that's a two-hour session, but people who watch The Secret or listen to the audio book or read the book, they are forever shifted, because there are universal truths in that we have in our DNA, that we are born knowing this knowledge, but we forgot that we know it. And then when they watch this movie or they hear this book or they read this book, it is then reignited and activated within their systems, and they begin the journey of coming out of victimhood, one just baby step at a time, but they're on their way out of it and on their way to who they really are. And that's what I think the beauty of The Secret is. And there are critics out there who believe that The Secret is bad and it's teaching people that you can just wish for something and it'll come true. No, no. You get a focus on what you want, like you yourself have done many times in your life, Tracy, and then you take action.
Right. And that's the difference. That's so interesting. And again, I'm a little naive sometimes, but I do think, how can anybody have a problem with The Secret? And the more I hear about the naysayers, it's just interesting to me. I'll never understand how you could argue against something. I mean, if they don't believe it, great, it's harmless.
Yes, but you know
what? Why attack it?
I'll tell you why. Because the people who are attacking it are afraid for their own livelihood because they would like the public to be dependent upon what they have to offer. So when something comes along so beautiful, so easy to understand, and so digestible to the masses, to the uninitiated, then they're feeling threatened that they're going to be out of business because somehow something came along to put people back in the driver's seats of their own lives to where they don't need their product anymore. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, actually.
So it's people who feel threatened that attack The Secret. And they don't even know that they don't know that they're revealing their insecurities every time they attack The Secret. And it's actually good that they're attacking The Secret because that creates a curiosity. And people who weren't going to watch it will want to watch it to see what all the hoopla is about. So it's all good all the time.
That's true.
Yes. So your friend, if your friend is listening to this radio show, I hope that she will get a copy of The Secret. And if you, after we go off the air, want to tell me an address, I can mail her a copy of the audiobook. It would be my great pleasure to do that.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what's interesting is that I love The Secret. I read the book every single night, at least 2 pages, just to keep me focused.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I never thought about giving her that book is just insane.
Oh, well, you know what? That's why this interview is taking place, and a lot of people who didn't think of it are thinking of it now because you and I are talking. There are no accidents. And I believe, I have a Katieism, and it's this, that synchronicity is divinity showing off.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. So, and if you had the audiobook yourself and just listen to it, I keep it in my car on my CD changer all the time, and I'm always listening. I have it on my computer. I'm always listening. And I'm just forever saturating myself with that universal truth, and it keeps me focused. Yesterday something happened. Some weird thing happened that suddenly, I don't know, we're going to all be charged for trash pickup, which is something that in my community has been always provided for in the way we pay our rent or mortgages or whatever. And I received a notice yesterday saying that I'm now going to have to start paying for that. And I'm like, it's not the money. It's just the idea that, well, wait a minute, where'd this come from? And I felt myself sinking, my vibration. I felt it lower and lower and lower. And then I went, what's going on here? And I caught it. I caught it. And I was like, whoa, I felt my vibration go down. My frequency is actually going lower over this little piece of paper with some illusionary news. This is an illusion. This doesn't really have any bearing on me. It doesn't matter in the scheme of things. What matters is my next breath I'm drawing. What matters is this great health I have. What matters is, I can make a difference in the world, not this piece of paper. So I started reaching for a better feeling and a better feeling and a better feeling. And then I got to my computer and finished my work and listened to The Secret while I was doing my work. And before I knew it, my frequency was off the charts, way higher than it was before I ever got that piece of paper. And today I've attracted so many wonderful, miraculous, wonderful, incredible things. And I saw the process. If I did not pull myself out of that nosedive yesterday, these great things today would not have happened. I am convinced of it. Because it's not what's going on, it's how we feel about it. And our emotions are telling us what we're thinking. And once we realize what we're thinking, like a victim, I'm a victim of this trash process, whatever it is. It's so silly now when I think about it. But it was something that I noticed. I pulled myself out of it. I caught myself in time to do something about it. And that's what having The Secret on all the time reminds me to do right in the moment where I'm starting to go into a nosedive. And we all do, all the time. It's the human condition. But to keep yourself saturated with this kind of universal truth as often as you possibly can, like you read your 2 pages every night, good for you. That's the 2 pages you needed at that moment. But, you know, it's like the audiobook is another step up. That's like you're about to go into another pageant. I'd be listening. I would love to send you a copy of the audiobook myself.
That's what I asked for my birthday.
Well, consider it done. Don't let anyone else get it for you. I will. Actually, if they give it to you, you can give mine away to someone else. But I just can't give out enough copies of it. I've given out probably 30 copies of that book, and just every time I do, I just feel like that's another person who's gonna have happiness in their life that they didn't have before they heard these concepts. They're going to feel less a victim than they did before they heard these concepts. And it's going to be a better world because every one of us in it, our happiness matters in collective consciousness. And if one person is feeling bad, we all feel it. We're all in this together. So every time anything I do causes someone's frequency to be raised and someone's to feel joy in their heart that they didn't feel a minute ago, then I am doing my job. And I am making the world a better place just by that. And I know for a fact, looking at your beautiful picture with that smile of yours, every time you smile at somebody, you uplift them. Every time. And that's free. Costs nothing. Costs nothing. And that's for everybody listening to. Your smile is the cheapest facelift you'll ever get. And makes a big difference to whoever's seeing that smile on your face. I know from experience myself. So I just, you know, really want to acknowledge you, Tracy, for the woman that you are and choosing the life that you did and the path that you come from and to be a light in the world. And I am so excited for your future that my heart is just beating really fast because I know already, my knower knows about you and about where you're going and what's about to happen in your life. And you totally can handle it. You've already said so. And what you say is your truth.
I'm thrilled. I really am. I'm, I had to get through a lot of fear of acceptance and those types of things that you work through. But acknowledging it is I think 90% of the battle.
Well,
stating, you realize that something. Go ahead.
Stating the life situation you're in, rather than call them problems, I call them life situations. But when you're having those issues of fear or doubt or acceptance issues or those old feelings from way back when come back to haunt you and working mm-hmm. through those just by stating that was in your space, stating it is half the solution. So an issue well stated is half solved, and you're doing that. So you've got a great handle on the whole thing. It's done. It's done. And you just keep being that wonderful example because you're a great role model for young ladies everywhere and young men everywhere and families and minorities. And, you know, this just nothing's going to keep you down.
Thank you. That's great. Well, I'm getting a great, great uplifting discussion here.
Well, you know, I'm very, very intuitive. And this is a gift that I have. And I totally see it. I'm watching it right now. In my mind and my heart, I see it because this is what you've been positioned for, and you can have, do, or be anything you want in life. And I'm seeing a television show. I mean, what would you like to have for your television show if you had one?
What would it be?
What would it be?
It would be basically just like this. Inspirational, motivational, people that have done things or doing things or offering things that can improve someone's life situation. Enlightenment.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So if I were to give you an assignment, if I were coaching you, I would ask mm-hmm. you to write up an outline of your show, including a list of guests who you would have on for the 52 weeks of the first year, one a week. I would ask you to start compiling your list of guests.
Okay,
I think that would be
that data.
Oh, good. And when I see you up in Sacramento, I'm going to do some other things for you that will help to clear out of your way whatever it is that might be a residue that even if it's a thought in your mind that's holding you back or a limitation you're not aware of, we can totally take care of all of that because it's a done deal. It's a done deal. You are who you are because this was meant to be, and I have a feeling we haven't seen nothing yet.
That's true. I know that to be true. So
yes, I just turned 51 in April, and I'm telling you, my life is just beginning. It's just beginning, and there are so many things that I see for myself, and I wouldn't be able to see these things for you if I couldn't also see them for me and for anybody else who chooses to get outside of their comfort zone and just go for it, because you could have ended up a way different person, Tracy. Mm-hmm. But your choices kept you strong, and your strong integrity and your morals and your values and your ethics kept you strong, and that's your core. And that will take you where you need to go. And what a great example that is. So we're coming up on the end of the Spiritual Hollywood Hour, and I would just like to know what is in your heart right now that you'd like to say to our listeners about contribution to your cause and what you're about to step into. What would you like to say to everybody about how they can assist you in some other way, like for pageant information? If they wanted to know about how they be in a pageant, what would you tell them?
Ooh, how they could be in a pageant?
Yes.
Basically, you can actually go to the website for the pageants. I might go to the MrsAmerica.com, the MissAmerica.com. I mean, you can find everything on this wonderful internet that we have.
Yes.
And it will have information for your state. And I do think that it's worthwhile. I think it's worthwhile for our girls, our young girls coming up, because if your mind is in the right place, it is really a transformational opportunity. It's just
yes.
having your mind in the right place.
And we know like the JonBenet Ramsey sort of situation where the young girls were put in the pageants way early in their life and wearing makeup and having poofy hairdos and all of that thing. It's not like that, right?
No, it really isn't. I mean, and I won't say for everyone it is like that, because it is like that for some people. And
yes.
And generally those are not the people that succeed. And I think it's important to remember that because the judges are looking for more. So you will have those folks, but they're only going to go so far.
They're looking for heart and soul.
They truly are. They truly are, and that's what's missed. I mean, only the interesting, considered interesting by the media stories are the ones that hit the airways. But I think it's important for us to, just as citizens of the world, of the universe, to make it known that we're interested in the good stories. That's
mm-hmm.
what we're going to listen to. That's what we're going to search out.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to support. So I think that's the key.
Yes.
But for me, go to my website, and it's, again, www.mrscaliforniaunitedstates.com. We are in the process of creating the site, but it does have contact information. I would love to have some sponsors. This all just occurred on March 31st, so it's been less than 2 months, and I'm kicked into the Mrs. United States, which is a national pageant. So we're looking for any kind of sponsorship from companies that might be interested in supporting me. We've been doing quite a bit of TV, and so there should be great opportunity for some exposure, as well as folks that would just like to contribute. I mean, we would love anything from $5, $2, doesn't even matter. We'll take all blessings.
Well, even if you got $1 from 10,000 people, or $1 from 1,000 people, or $1 from 10,000 people, that would help also, correct?
It really would.
Anything. So let me just give the name Chelsea White at Exceptional Events Incorporated. This is to book or sponsor Tracy. And her email address is C, like cat, C White, W-H-I-T-E, at exceptional-events.com. And that phone number is 916-443-3800 to book or sponsor Tracy Stafford. For what she is about to step into. And I would like to just thank you so much, Tracy, for being my guest this evening. This has been gone by so fast, I can hardly believe it. But really a lot of fun to have you on my show. And I'm looking forward to meeting you in person and talking some more about how I can help you. And just thank you for being you and for just bringing out more and more of that. And I know in this next pageant you're going to discover yourself even at a deeper level that you didn't know was there. And how exciting is that? That's great. And I just want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in tonight and for your support. And Don Newsom, thank you again for being such a wonderful place to have Spiritual Hollywood and for all of your support. And again, this is Kate Romero, your host. And if you want to check in what's going on with Guardian Angel Management, I'm at guardianangelmanagement.com. That's all spelled out, no spaces. And if you'd like to investigate quantum hypnotherapy, that's www.quantumhypnotherapy2.com, quantumhypnotherapy2.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And just take a deep breath, stand up really straight, and love yourselves. Again, thank you so much, Tracy, and have a great night. Bye-bye.